Here is this part of the history of Israel, and it's actually suppressed.
Yeah. Certainly a mystery.
Use the word mystery, but maybe conspiracy. Why?
The symbol disappears, falls out of use.
Archaeologists were very much aware of the existence of the symbol, but they hid it.
Symbol which represents being grafted in.
Why? Did you know that Jesus was Jewish? You might be asking, what does that mean for your Christian faith?
Watch today and discover how understanding the Jewish roots of your faith and your connection to Israel and the Jewish people
can transform your life and the way you read the Bible. Coming up on Jewish Voice. Shalom and welcome to Jewish Voice. I want to thank you for joining me today. I'm Jonathan Bernis, and I'm joined once again by my co-host, Ezra Benjamin. Have you ever looked at the clock and it was exactly 11:11? Well, strangely, this happens to me often, and it always reminds me of Romans 11. Now, this scripture is so critical. We'll talk about it today because it talks about how Jews and Gentiles are united in their faith. There is a deep relationship between Jews and Gentiles in the body of Messiah, and as well, the church and the role of Israel. They're tied together. We're going to explain that to you and what it means to you as a Christian to be grafted in. Now, Ezra, I feel like as we prepared for this program, we sort of uncovered a conspiracy. Maybe that's a strong word. But
well, certainly a mystery. Let's say
mystery,
that.
A mystery. Yeah. And it has to do with the idea of grafted in. So,
sure.
So to take it from there and let's talk about grafted in.
Right. And we're going to go right to a symbol that many of you watching have seen, I imagine. Perhaps some haven't. And we'll put that on the screen for you right now. It's this symbol which represents being grafted in. And at the top of it, there's a menorah, which symbolizes Jewish believers or Jewish worship in the temple in Jerusalem. And at the bottom, there's a fish, which we know historically was an ancient symbol of Gentile believers, not from a Jewish background, who believed Jesus was the Messiah in the early church. And then these things are connected by a Star of David right at the center. And again, many have seen this, but actually it dates back, Jonathan, almost 2,000 years. And in recent archaeological history, you know, in Israel, you and I have both been so many times, around every corner, there's an ancient artifact. But in the 1960s, some people living in the old city of Jerusalem began to find literally dozens of this symbol, the menorah and the fish joined by the Star of David, on ancient pottery, on walls of mikvahs or ritual Jewish ceremonial cleansing baths in the basements in the old city of Jerusalem. And yet, after the 1st and 2nd century AD, this symbol really disappears.
It does. Now, here's what's so intriguing about it, Ezra, and I use the word mystery, but maybe conspiracy is more accurate. So here's this. It was a priest, actually, that found these multiple examples on pottery.
Sure.
As you said, a mezuzah that goes on the door.
Right.
There were actually jars that had this this insignia on it. And we know that it dates back to the 3rd century. And yet you don't hear anything about it until the 1990s.
Right.
Actually, late 1980s. And it's because this priest, actually a monk, turned over some of these artifacts to a well-known newspaper that started to publish them. And the thing that's so that maybe qualifies as
a potential
conspiracy is that archaeologists were very much aware of the existence of the symbol, but they hid it.
Exactly. And we know, again, having been to Israel, if you haven't gone, you should go to Israel, visit the Holy Land. Any significant archaeological find is turned over to the Israeli Ministry of Antiquities or to the Israel Museum, and it's displayed as part of the history of what happened in this land. And yet, this symbol, this mysterious symbol of Jewish and Christian, if you will, faiths, or Jewish believers and Gentile believers in Jesus, joined by a Star of David, is absent from the Israel Museum. It's not being talked about largely by any Ministry of Antiquities, and yet here it was, buried in the Old City.
Well, I'll go one step further. It was actually suppressed by the Israeli Museum. They never displayed it.
Sure.
They never talked about it. And in addition, the Orthodox rabbis were aware of it as well.
Right.
And it was suppressed.
Right.
Why?
Right.
Why? The question is, here is this part of the history of Israel, part of antiquity, and it's actually suppressed.
Yeah, and we're going to
why?
We're going to keep you on pins and needles because I want to go one step further. Not only was it suppressed in recent history by Orthodox Jewish authorities, Israeli authorities, but when we look back to the 3rd or 4th century AD, the symbol disappears. So this symbol, which was so prevalent to represent early followers of Jesus, falls out of use around the time of Constantine.
Very good point.
When the church is being institutionalized. So on both ends of history, Jonathan, on the what became the institutional Christian church under Constantine, and then more recently by the organized mainstream Jewish community, the symbol is repressed, is suppressed. Why?
And so the answer to why, I believe, and if you let's put it back one more time, is because the menorah, of course, represents Judaism.
Right.
Okay? The cross, of course, which is more than a cross, it's actually a fish.
A fish.
I will make you fishers of men.
Right.
Is the whole picture of the gospel, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And the cross, of course, is the sacrifice of the Messiah.
Sure.
And they're joined together by the Star of David.
Right.
What's the clear message? The clear message is that this is one faith.
This is one
faith. This is not two distinct faiths that are unrelated, Judaism and Christianity, but this is one faith.
Yeah.
The menorah, the Star of David, I'll make you fishers of men, all the first believers, followers of Yeshua were all Jews.
It's one faith in a Jewish Messiah. That's why the Star of David is at the center of it all. Because the prophets of the Old Testament, the prophets in Israel understood, as did the first Gentile believers in Jesus, known as Christians, everybody understood Jesus is the Jewish Messiah who came not only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but as the Savior of the whole world.
And now you have two distinct religious institutions trying to prevent that from being communicated.
Exactly.
I think it's a conspiracy.
I'll go with you now. It's a conspiracy.
So, Ezra, I want you to elaborate on one point you made. It's very obvious why the Israeli Museum would suppress this, why rabbis would suppress this, because it points to the Jewish Yeshua, Jesus.
The Jewish Jesus, Yeshua. Right.
But you said that these went out of circulation, that they predate Constantine Christianity.
Right.
Why did it about that?
I'll answer that in a minute, but I want to elaborate on something you said, Jonathan. Maybe our audience may not understand. Wait a minute. Why is it so important for the mainstream Jewish community to sort of suppress or erase the Jewishness of Jesus? What in Jewish thinking causes that to be such a problem?
It's very simple. Judaism is based more on what we don't believe than what we do believe.
Uh-huh.
There's consensus about one thing in Judaism, and that is Jesus is our Messiah.
Right.
And as soon as that changes, you have a 2,000-year commitment to to rejecting him as a Messiah being pulled away.
Right.
That can't happen.
It's sad. It's a spiritual blindness.
It's a spiritual blindness.
So now to answer your question, thank you for answering mine, just so you at home understand clearly what's going on. There's, in large part, a Jewish rejection of the Messiahship of Jesus. But what's going on with the church? Of course the church worships Jesus as Lord, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the Messiah. So why erase this symbol? And we have to go back to the 4th century A.D., okay, the 300s A.D., when a man who really loved Jesus, who was a fully devoted follower of Jesus the Messiah named Constantine, who ruled the known world, looked at the widespread rejection of Jesus by the Jewish people and said, God must have rejected them for rejecting his son, for rejecting the Messiah. Therefore, he determined and actually penned, the Jewish people are an accursed people, and true faith as Christians must have nothing to do with the Jewish people or Jewish customs. And so at this point, anything connecting Judaism or the Jewish faith to Jesus the Messiah or presenting the idea that Jewish and Gentile believers were somehow unified is thrown away. Mm-hmm. And so it remains until very recent history.
So Sabbath disappears. It's now Sunday.
Right.
You have the Jewish holidays being replaced by other holidays. Not
sure.
That we're against the Christian holidays, but the Jewish calendar.
Right.
The biblical calendar remains
right.
intact, but it was removed. So it's the de-Judaizing right of
exactly.
Christianity.
Of faith in Jesus.
And it's not done in a vacuum. There's a process that brings the church
exactly.
and then ultimately Constantine to this place of saying all things Jewish are going to be removed now from the faith, which is now Christianity.
Tragic, but it
happens. A religious institution. And it's a sad development. Hey, we need to take a short break. The Apostle Paul reminds us that all people need to hear the gospel. And that gospel is first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. That's God's priority. We're inviting you to partner with us today to proclaim Yeshua, Jesus as the Messiah, to all Jewish communities around the world, but especially in Israel. Now, through our network of partner ministries. Here's how you can reach out to Israel with the gospel today.
Carry this tote bag with the grafted-in seal of the menorah and fish, joined by the Star of David, and you're proclaiming how Jews and Christians are united in Jesus. Make a gift of $40 or more, and we'll send you this inspiring tool for ministry. We'll also include Enter His Gates, a book written for Christians to better understand your Jewish roots and how Jews and Christians are not meant to have two distinct faiths. To say thank you for your gift of $40 or more, Jewish Voice will send that book and the new tote bag with the symbol of the menorah and fish joined by the Star of David. We are hoping you'll write, go online, or call the number on the screen today. Become a new Shalom partner by making a gift of $30 per month or more, and we'll send you the tote bag, the book, Enter His Gates, and the silver-plated Shema necklace. It comes with an approximately 20-inch chain and just might lead to engaging conversations about Jesus, the Jewish Messiah. Finally, moved by Romans 11:11 and the calling that comes with being grafted in, we invite you to make a one-time special gift of $1,111. 11:11, even in times of crisis, to unite our hearts to God through Jesus, Yeshua. Call this number, scan the QR code, give securely online at jewishvoice.tv, or mail your most generous gift to the address on the screen. Thank you so much.
Grafted in, that's what we're talking about today. And Ezra, I want you to set up what that means.
Sure.
Because it's a biblical concept.
Right.
It comes right out of the scriptures, scriptures that are often overlooked or misinterpreted, grafted in.
That's right. It's really an agricultural concept. And some of you watching around the world may be in more agricultural environments. In North America, we've lost touch a bit with what this even means, but Paul's speaking to a community that was very much in touch with what's happening in the land, and he's saying, I want you to think, he's speaking to a predominantly non-Jewish audience, right? We can say Gentile, which means non-Jewish, followers of Jesus the Messiah, and he's saying, I want you to think about your relationship to Israel, to this faith in the God of Israel that you have through Jesus, like an olive tree. And we see it in Romans 11. The idea here is that you were wild branches, you Gentiles who had no relationship with the God of Israel, didn't have a part in this olive tree, but God in His mercy brought you near to Himself through Jesus the Messiah, and He actually grafted you in. What does that mean? That for all intents and purposes, your life, the fatness, the abundance of the life you're enjoying spiritually is now coming from this olive tree whose root is Israel. So people ask us all the time, Jonathan, does this mean I become Jewish when I believe in Jesus? No, you don't become part of the people of Israel, but you're grafted into the commonwealth of Israel through faith. Those blessings, that heritage, that faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all He's done are yours through the Messiah.
Well
That's
said.
What it means.
Let me add to that. Probably greatest error in the church, and I think it's crippled the church from fulfilling the mandate to reach the world to a large degree, is not embracing our commitment to Israel and the idea that we've replaced Israel. Well, Romans 11 makes it very clear that you, as wild branches, have been grafted into the olive tree that also has natural branches. You don't replace them. You simply are added to them. And so all the blessings of God given to Israel, you are now an inheritor of. But it doesn't mean that you replace Israel. This is very important. Mm-hmm. So I think that needs to be corrected, Ezra. And God's at work correcting this now.
That's right.
In many segments of the church, that you have been grafted into something wonderful, and we now together are partakers of the blessings of God. It's together as one. We are, and God sees us as one. It doesn't mean that you become Jewish. Right. As Ezra said, it means that you become a spiritual son or daughter of Abraham and part of a commonwealth, that are a royal priesthood, a holy generation, with the mandate to proclaim the good news around the world.
That's right. And that's I want to just focus in on this, because I think many may say, yes, I understand I'm grafted in and all the blessings that Israel has are mine. But Paul says, no, it's more than that. Understand, in verses 18 and 19 of chapter 11 in Romans, he says, you need to think about it this way. Branches were cut off so that I have a place in the olive tree. And he says, but that's not the end of the story. If God brought you who had no part into the blessings, the fullness of the sap of this olive tree, then surely he's able to take the branches that originally were part of the tree, who he had to cut off for their unbelief, and to graft them in again. And so as much as you've inherited the blessings, I just want to look you in the eye right now, as much as you've inherited the blessings of being made part of the commonwealth of Israel, you also now have a God-given irrevocable responsibility to ask God to graft back in those branches he loves who had to be cut off in unbelief.
Ezra, he goes even one step further, which is why I love Romans 11. Yeah. It's so clear that it's the rejection of the natural branches, the actual breaking off of the natural branches that brought this engrafting, that brought you into the kingdom of God. And don't forget, it was the Jewish apostles that brought the gospel around the world. And so there is a debt of responsibility to the early church who were all Jews who believed in their Messiah. They fulfilled the mandate to bring the gospel around the world. And he says it's through their rejection that you have salvation.
Right.
But then he goes on and says, but if that's a blessing, what's going to happen if they're grafted back in, when they return?
Right.
And he says it will bring life from the dead.
That's right. That's right. Salvation has gone to all the peoples, tribes, and tongues of the earth to provoke Israel to jealousy. What does that mean? It means for Israel to recognize something in your faith, for the Jewish people to look at your faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and say, wait a minute, there's something there that belongs to me. And God says, yes, there is. Come and get it through Jesus, through Yeshua. That's your calling. Your irrevocable calling as a believer in Jesus.
That's my story, Ezra. I was not provoked to jealousy through a Jewish believer, but through a Christian wrestling coach that loved the Lord, that had a sense of destiny in his life, that had a joy even when things weren't going perfectly. And I asked, what does he have that I don't have? And I began to realize over time that as a part of the chosen people, the people of the book. I had never read the book. He knew the book.
Yeah.
He knew my God.
Right.
Because I understood that he loved the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he had embraced my Messiah.
That's right.
And you have that calling as well, to demonstrate the love of God, the peace of God,
Amen.
A sense of destiny in God, that the God of Israel has brought you through a relationship with the King of the Jews. Don't miss that opportunity.
That's right. And maybe, Jonathan, that's why the symbol has been so suppressed by the Jewish community and the Christian community for centuries. It's a difficult message, right? It's a little bit hard to explain, but it's right here. Don't take our word for it. It's right here in Romans 11. God wants you to know your irrevocable responsibility in asking him, partnering with him toward the salvation of the Jewish people, of his chosen people.
Ezra, you know, we talk a lot around here about John 17 and the call for unity, that they may be one as we are one. That's a prayer, that's a priestly prayer.
That's right.
That Jesus, Yeshua, is praying to the Father. And I think of Judaism and Christianity, the Star of David or the cross.
Right.
And what they represent, so distinct, even a history of animosity and hatred.
Right.
Maybe the grafted in symbol is part of a plan to bring us back to one.
Amen. And that's, you know, I'm smiling here because a significant portion of the New Testament, Jonathan, is first people like Peter saying, what has the God of Israel to do with the Gentiles? And God says, no, you misunderstand. My salvation's available to all. And he sends people like 1 Peter, but then Paul, his whole ministry, is to the Gentiles. And then as the number of non-Jewish believers in the ecclesia grows, people like the faith community in Rome turn around and go, what have we to do with the Jews? They seem to reject Jesus. And Paul says, no, don't misunderstand. God's able to graft them back in. And it's all a message about being in this inseparable relationship, Jewish believers and Gentile believers united in Jesus, the Jewish Messiah. That's the message.
Yeah, it's a beautiful message, and it's such a clear proclamation. We are called to be one. We're called to do this together.
Right.
God loved the world.
That's right.
That he gave his son. We get that. I want to make it clear. Jewish Voice is not just about reaching the Jewish people only. It's about the redemption of the world.
That's right.
But we believe that there's a divine order, and it's a divine order that he's calling the church to follow. Romans 1:16,
yeah.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. It's not dot, dot, dot. It continues on and says to the Jew first and then to the Gentile.
That's right.
That's a divine priority. And when we follow that priority, we see redemption. We see life spreading to the nations.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Well, we could talk so much more about this. We need to take a short break so you can hear about the opportunities available to you to proclaim the gospel directly to Jewish people in Israel right now. We need you to come alongside of us. Ezra and I will be back in a moment to pray with you and your family. But I want to ask you to respond to this message now. We'll be right back.
Carry this tote bag with the grafted-in seal of the menorah and fish, joined by the Star of David, and you're proclaiming how Jews and Christians are united in Jesus. Make a gift of $40 or more, and we'll send you this inspiring tool for ministry. We'll also include Enter His Gates, a book written for Christians to better understand your Jewish roots, and how Jews and Christians are not meant to have two distinct faiths. To say thank you for your gift of $40 or more, Jewish Voice will send that book and the new tote bag with the symbol of the menorah and fish joined by the Star of David. We are hoping you'll write, go online, or call the number on the screen today. Become a new Shalom partner by making a gift of $30 per month or more, and we'll send you the tote bag, the book, Enter His Gates, and the silver-plated Shema necklace. It comes with an approximately 20-inch chain and just might lead to engaging conversations about Jesus, the Jewish Messiah. Finally, moved by Romans 11:11 and the calling that comes with being grafted in, we invite you to make a one-time special gift of $1,111. 11:11. Even in times of crisis, to unite our hearts to God through Jesus, Yeshua. Call this number, scan the QR code, give securely online at jewishvoice.tv, or mail your most generous gift to the address on the screen. Thank you so much.
We take time in every program as we close to pray for you, our partners. And we've received many emails, a few letters, mostly emails now or through our website, asking for prayer for specific things, jobs, asking for family unification, asking for the healing of a loved one, or some of you that are facing serious medical issues. Here's the good news. God is very much alive. He's very much concerned, and he has the answer to every need. His ear is not dull. He hears and answers prayer.
That's right.
And all it takes is faith. All it takes is agreement. And so we want to just take a moment to agree with you because we care about you. We really do. We're here for you. And so I'm just going to ask you to reach out in faith, believe God with us. Ezra is going to join in prayer with me. I want you to join in prayer. Where two or three agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done. So Lord, we pray for those that are watching today. We pray for faithful partners. We pray for viewers. We pray for those who have emailed us, contacted us from our website. We pray for healing. We pray for family restoration. We pray for the divine provision of jobs. And we thank you, Lord, that every need is met. We thank you, Lord, that the blessings of God are very clear. You heal all of our diseases. And Lord, we stand on your word. We declare it as greater than the situation. And we thank you for Yeshua, Jesus, who's making intercession for us right now. Be healed, be delivered, be provided for. B'Shem Yeshua, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. If you'd like more information about our ministry, you can log on to our website, jewishvoice.tv. One word, jewishvoice.tv. And you can find so many helpful resources there. And you can also send us your prayer requests right on the website, from the website. I want you to know that we care about you and that God cares about you and that we are dedicated to pray for partners by name. So do let us know your needs and they'll be prayed for. We close, as I close every program, with Psalm 122:6, which says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love thee. So I'm asking you to be faithful to pray for Israel this week. Thank you to Ezra for joining me today. And until next time, this is Jonathan Bernis saying shalom and God bless you. Hey, I want to make you aware of our new Jewish Voice mobile app, by the way. It's easy to download. You just enter MyJVMI in your app store, and then you download it onto your device, and I hope you'll do it today.